Sportsnet.com here at the 10th anniversary of the Calgary Expo. I'm sitting here with Ryan Ferrier. You know him from Curb Stomp. You'll know him from Dave through IDW. You know him from some Sons of Anarchy. Another book with a animal in a suit that happens to practice law that I can't talk about. How's it going, Ryan?
It's going awesome, man. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. How's the con going for you?
It's great. It's busy as hell. And, yeah, it's doing all right.
That's good. It's, you know, sometimes busy is good, sometimes busy is bad.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in. Let's talk about Dave. Let's talk about Dave started as a monkey brain digital first.
Yep.
And then you jumped to IDW. How did that happen?
Well, we were shopping around the trade, you know, because there's been most of the monkey brain books, once they're wrapped, somewhere picks them up for a trade. Usually it's IDW. There's been some books that
Dark Horse
did a couple. Image did one. And so we were kind of shopping it around. And a couple people, you know, bid on it. But ultimately, we went with IDW. And then it was their idea to kind of run with it with monthly singles. So I think they're kind of trying it out. And I guess they had a lot of belief in it, you know. They supported it, and so now we're doing monthlies. Yeah.
Now, for somebody that has never read it, I wouldn't even know where to begin. How would you describe Dave?
Dave is basically a in the future, after robots have annihilated all life in the universe, and they become humans. So they have jobs, they have mortgages, they have cars, they have wives, boyfriends, partners, pets, and so as such, the leader of the army, he works a 9-to-5 desk job now, and he's miserable and he hates it. And the book essentially, it's a setup for his midlife crisis, and it gets a lot more, you know, it's tons of action and comedy, but also a nice balance of a slice of life kind of black comedy thing.
It's definitely got a lot of comedy in it.
Oh, thank you.
There's a lot of great beats and moments in that book. You can't help but, you know, you're reading it wherever you're reading it, you're reading it, you're laughing out loud.
Well,
like, there's lots of moments like that. Nobody cares about Jason Momoa, damn it.
He's hot.
He's hot. Jason Momoa's hot. You can leave that in there, apparently.
His dick is a Coke can. I've seen it. It's like Pringles. He could wear a Pringles can on his dick.
Full right to the end, eh? None of this half-bag stuff.
He's got to hold the base because it never gets fully erect because it's too big. There's not enough blood in his body to fill it. Anyways, sorry.
Oh, we want a tangent there, you know, sorry. Maybe you leave that one in. So you got the issues from Monkey Brain being reprinted as singles.
Yep.
You got like a Fiona Staples did number one. You guys are local, good friends with Fiona.
Yep.
So one of the best covers for sure.
Amazing.
Any other special guest covers? I'm kind of looking at one over there.
Well, we've got the Monkey Brain covers are the subscription variants for all five. And then Valentin Ramon, the artist, interiors, he's done five new covers for the print version, and those actually, when you line them up side by side, they make one like long diorama piece, or not diorama, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, yeah, just one big picture.
Like one big picture, yeah. So we did those new for the print, and there's also every issue's got new pinups from various up and coming artists included.
I've always wondered, how do you personally select? Like, do you know people that you're like, hey, you want to draw something? Like, yeah, okay. Is it something that the publisher has more of a hand in, or how do you guys pick pinups?
It's interesting with Dave. When it landed at IDW, they've been very supportive and great to, you know, facilitate and work with and help and all that. But they're very hands off. They're like, no, this is, you guys had your lightning in a bottle, so like, you keep that. And so yeah, I've been doing the choosing the pinup artists, or they've been sending it in to us. We also have actually, because the page count with Monkey Brain was a bit more fluid being digital, we had to fill some pages with back matter for the print. So I've actually, me and Valentin have come up with a bunch of new back matter stuff, like, well, you'd have to pick up the issues to see them, but we've got like ads and like funny ads and newspaper stuff from the future Earth. So that's all been us. We've just been doing everything. So yeah.
Just add stuff to like your 22-page count or something, right? Because Monkey Brain was generally like a 10-page digital before, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
in and around.
It was really fluid. Like, it was all over the place. We tried to keep Dave around the 20-page mark. There was a couple issues that ran under and a couple that ran over. I think the smallest Dave issue is 17, and the largest was 25. So, but there's some that are like 10 pages, yeah.
So after it was five issues that are being reprinted in singles, you guys are going to have a trade, just regular paperback, like no special hardcover edition in the works. I know IDW likes to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
we haven't talked about like the how we're going to physically do it. But we're doing it. I think it's September is when we're collecting it. Don't quote me on that; it might change. But I believe it's late summer. Yeah.
And then is there plans for more afterwards? Are you guys going to continue? Is it like a similar idea to like, you know, Saga? I mean, obviously you already had the five written, but
yeah.
You know, you do five issues, trade comes out, and then you start another arc, trade comes out. Are you like that kind of idea in the works or anything else like that?
We haven't officially said anything yet, and I can't officially say anything yet, but it's very, 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 very likely that yes, it is very likely. There will be more Dave, probably,
maybe. He doesn't sound sure about it.
Very, 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 very likely. I don't know. Well, guess we'll see in July if someone says anything. If it's a yes or no, in July on the back cover of Day 5, we'll know.
Okay, we'll have to keep an eye out on that. We'll have to keep it. Well, maybe it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get in shit right now, but that's okay.
We can edit it out if you want. We'll edit out at least two varies.
All right,
and then it'll be on the ropes.
Yeah,
we don't know. Let's talk about other work. You're working for Boom Studios as well.
Yep.
On Curb Stomp.
Yep.
Describe that one for us.
Curb Stomp is a street level kind of punk rock survival book. It's essentially three gangs that are in turf wars with each other. They're targeting one gang in particular called the Fever, who are coincidentally comprised of all women, and it deals with some real issues and themes and messages that are really being talked about right now in media and in real life, and so. It's kind of taking that and melding it into a kick-ass narrative about these gangs that are playing a cat and mouse game of wiping each other off for turf supremacy.
Cool, cool. I always wondered, you know what? You got some with IDW, you got some stuff with Boom. I've seen another one, obviously your own. How do you shop your books? Like, is there one publisher you know you want to work with, and you just kind of like, let's go? Or are you open to whoever would want to? Like, I mean, you're not contractually obligated to work with anybody, right?
Right, right. No, there's no obligation. It's so early in my career that, like, I'm hungry for work, so, like, I'll take whatever chance I can get if it's a story that I can tell. There's... I think rarely in comics does a pitch or a submission ever work where it's very, you know, unsolicited and cold. I think that there has to be an organic kind of relationship, and because there's a lot of trust that publishers put in creators, and it's a lot of risk as well. So there's that goes both ways. That goes for the creators with the publisher as well. So it's got to be very natural and a good working relationship. I've been lucky to work with, you know, fantastic editors and great companies that believe in the work that we're all doing. And so, you know, you just hope that that kind of takes you, you know, other places and snowballs. I've been very lucky to work with some amazing people, and that's across the board from artists to colorists to letters to editors. And
yeah, you know, every time your name's on a book, definitely the art's always great, the color's always great. Like it's a complete package. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't want to say half-assed. That's not the right word.
Right,
but you know, everybody's like, everybody's into it. They're at top of their game. You know, it's always really good looking.
Thank you.
Also with Boom, you are working on the IP Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Took over for Ed Brisson.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How do you jump into something like doing your old stuff and all of a sudden, hey, we have the Sons of Anarchy book, you want to write it? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it was kind of out of the blue. I mean, because I worked with Boom before Sons of Anarchy, and I guess, you know, they were floating names, and my name came up, and Daphna reached out to me, and I sent her some of my stuff, and that included the Brothers James, and that Brothers James is very tonally like Sons of Anarchy, and so it deals with the kind of same, you know, it's made out of the same, cut from the same cloth, and I think that Brothers James has a lot of kind of lightness to the dark as well, and a lot of youth and you know, that kind of vibe. So I think that's what might have attracted them to it, and I was a huge fan of the show. Like that was I think a really important as well. So yeah, and the opportunity came up for me to pitch on it, and luckily I managed to woo them enough with my pitch that's just coming out.
Obviously, an IP like Sons of Anarchy is not the size of a Marvel book or a DC
sure.
book or something. How much freedom do you really have working within that world? Like, do you always have to talk to like the creators, or is it an editor that then goes to creators? How does that kind of relationship work between people that invented it and like the show?
Yeah,
and then you have to do this on the, you know, other stories within these.
Sure, I mean it's a balance in that it has to be in continuity, it has to be in canon, and you know, it has to be true to the show, it has to be true to the characters, and you have to be, because typically we set the arcs in between seasons, you have to be aware of where they are before that this new story starts and where they're going to be afterwards. But other than that, I was actually surprised at how much free range I had. Like when I was first asked to pitch on this first arc, Boom was very much just like, no, seriously, like, come up with anything you want. There's no stipulations. And just come up with a really great Sun story that you want to tell. And the first arc I'm doing is coming out now, and I'm actually starting writing on the second arc today. So that's been approved and everything. And they're both completely my stories. That just happened to fit within this, and there's Fox does approve. You know, they obviously have to look through and approve everything, but they're really encouraging, and they don't like to change, you know, the visions, because I think we all line up pretty perfectly. And but yeah, I was surprised at how much free range I had.
I know that, you know, that's good to hear. Obviously, you don't want to have it too stifled.
Yeah,
and obviously, you don't want to have too much freedom where you're, you know, changing how a character is, especially, I mean, the fans of Sons of Anarchy are pretty rabid.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. So I'm sure if you started doing, like, random stuff, you would hear about it pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure.
And you probably wouldn't get a second arc.
Right?
Yeah. You mentioned Brothers James there. Did that did that get collected from another publisher, or is it still through Challenger?
It's still through Challenger. We've got one issue left. It came at a weird time for Brian and I, because it's a two-man book. And we both just got insanely busy right after the fourth issue came out. And, like, Brian's doing amazing work now. He's got an Image book coming out, The Mantle with Ed Brisson. And he's doing tons of work. And I had a bunch of books come out. So it's, you know, sometimes if you're still in the middle of self-publishing, you gotta the passion projects, you got to work on them when you can.
Yeah.
So, but we're still going to wrap it up, and we'll collect it, and we'll do right by it, because that was what I consider my first passion project.
That was actually the first time that I saw your name.
Oh, awesome.
Because I think it was at Another Dimension or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's this? And I kind of like flipped through and stuff and checked it out. And that was the first time. And then it was the other book. And then I saw you here actually shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago.
Awesome.
And yeah, we were looking at that and checking out some of your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You were sitting with Riley, I think. And Riley was like, he was throwing me. Rebel Blood, I think, was out then and stuff. So, yeah, it was a while back.
That's awesome.
And I wonder what happened to that book. I haven't seen it for a while. It was done. I didn't really hear what happened with that.
Yeah,
so
it's the same as Tiger Lore. It they both came at a weird time where we got so busy that. But we're gonna revisit both. So, yeah.
And wrap it up at least.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have coming up? How much more work can you really be doing right now? What do you?
I've got Curb Stomps 3's out next week, which is the it's like the last Wednesday of April, and then 4's in May, which ends the series. Sons of Anarchy is ongoing. Dave, like I mentioned, we're gonna keep doing that and then collect a new trade, and then maybe very, very, very likely it'll keep going. I've got a short story in Bravest Warriors, the Holojohn special in May, which I'm pretty jazzed about, because
like a big, like a 25 issue, like a number 25 where they have like a bunch of shorts in there.
Yeah, it's like an oversized one shot, and it's got just, it's like an anthology book. It's all Bravest Warriors, and I'm super proud of my story. It's like, it's fucking bonkers. Sorry if I can swear.
That's fine.
And it's super funny, and I'm really happy about that. And then I've got, I think I've got like 2 unannounced series coming at the end of the year, and those should be great. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't. And
comic industry, man.
And then I got one really huge thing coming in July, which I can't talk about yet.
And they're going to announce it? They're going to announce it in July?
No, they're going to announce it, I think, like within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. So I'm pretty jazzed. It's big for me. It'll come out, they'll talk about it, and people will be like, oh, that's it. But for me, I've been jazzed about it, so yeah.
That's what counts, man, yeah. As long as you're happy. You also do some lettering as well?
Yeah, I do.
Do you on only your own stuff? How does that...
Did
you start?
That's kind of how I got started in the comics. I got started. I wrote an online webcomic for 2 years by Penny Farthing Press called Terminals, and I started. I lettered Terminals because the editor asked me to do it because I was a graphic designer, which I learned doesn't really help you when you're starting lettering. So, but yeah, but from that I kind of basically like have just followed Ed Brisson's career path, almost literally, where I'm stealing his work, like Sons of Anarchy, but...
Push him out of the way and do it.
Yeah.
You're out of here, Ed.
Yeah, and then so... no, I love Ed. And so, yeah, I've been lettering a ton of books just where I can. Like, I've lettered for Image and Oni and Dark Horse and Monkey Brain and Boom and Black Mask. And that's been really great for me to learn a lot about, especially writing, you know, and to learn about the production of comic and artwork and meet editors and just learn the industry and
get your foot in the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people that have gotten into the industry, like not getting in, but they've become part of the industry through all other ways, like color flatting and coloring and logo design. Like Tim Daniel, he does a bunch of design, and he's also a writer. Yeah, yeah. And like I know Chris Sabella did a lot of flatting too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and. Yeah, and Ed Brisson did lettering, so that's kind of, and I still do it because I enjoy it. Also, it lets me do comics work and kind of relax at the same time. Because when I'm writing, you know, you're invested in it, but with lettering, you can, you know, put on some music
and got some words there, and you just gotta make it work.
You can work on some comics and listen to some music. So
I've always wondered. I mean, obviously, you being a letterer, you might be a little more biased, but I don't know what it is about. I feel like lettering, not so much as coloring anymore. Coloring has really gotten more of a stage where people are appreciating it more, learning more names, Jordy Belair, Kelly Fitzpatrick, that kind of stuff. Lettering always seems to take like a third seat, not even a back seat. Like, why do you think that is? You think it's just taken for granted? Here's the words, boom, there it is. I mean, I know when you look at, there was a Adventure Time book, and her name escapes me, and she hand lettered everything.
Was it Kate Leth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it? It wasn't Leth.
Or Natasha.
I feel like it was Brittany something.
Okay.
And she had, and it was great, like really wicked cursive and everything.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously that kind of stuff will really stand out. But like, what about regular comic lettering? Do you think seems to go so kind of just ignored by reviewers? Everybody,
yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
I think it's because good lettering is unnoticed. I think because that's the key. That's the key to lettering is you don't want people to notice the lettering. I mean, unless it's very stylized, then you notice it. But most of the time, you don't want people to notice the lettering. You want it to be very seamless. You just want them to read, focus on the art and the story. And so that's the letter's, you know, I'd say their number one job is to letter in a way that you don't notice. And so I think that what that translates to is a lot of people don't appreciate lettering, the nuance and the the skill set that it goes, because it does have a very specific skill set.
I've heard from a lot of people that try their own comics say it's the hardest thing they've done.
Go to a con and find an artist, you know, someone working, and ask them to name you their five favorite letterers. You'd be hard pressed to find someone to name more than two or three.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, that just comes with what lettering is, and like I said, it's something that you, if you're doing it right, you don't really notice it. If you see bad lettering, it'll punch you in the face.
You'll notice that.
You'll notice it.
That's a really good way to put it. That makes a lot more sense too. I've always kind of wondered how to put that, verbalize it, and make sense of it.
They make up for it because letters get paid so much.
Do they?
No, fuck no.
You never know. Maybe it's their hidden gem.
Nope. No. It's the letters of the last person to touch your book before it goes to print, and the deadlines never change. But everyone else takes the same, or it takes longer, right?
You have 2 days to letter this whole book. Ah, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of all-nighters when you letter books. But you know what? It's fun. It's good.
That's good. That's the best part.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Where can we find you online? On the Twitters and all that fun
best
stuff?
Best place to find me online is Ryan Writer on Twitter. That's, you know, you can find all my stuff there. I'm on Tumblr a lot, too. rferrier.tumblr. That's pretty much the best place to get me. Get at me.
Yeah,
most people
have like one or two, everything else kind of thing.
I'm a pretty accessible dude, so yeah.
You are. I appreciate it. Great interview, man.
No, thanks.
I wish you all the best. I hope that the really, really likely Dave turns into an absolute.
I hope so too.
I look forward to more, man.
Thank you
all the time.
Much.
All the best, man.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So much.